Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, God's Plan for Dominion, a Covenant Family, from the series Family Fortified. It helps you discover the life-changing truth that your worth is rooted in being created in God's image, no matter what. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. And be sure to sign up for Pastor Jeff's weekly email devotion to receive encouragement right in your inbox. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
It starts with your identity being rooted in Christ. Identity being rooted in God, and your purpose rooted in your God-given gender, because he's got different paths for men than for women. And if you get that, then you get point number three, which I think is the most important point of this entire text. And that is this dominion mandate for seeing God move throughout the world starts with mission, your mission rooted in establishing a godly family. I'm going to say it again because you need to ponder this a little bit. Your mission in this life is rooted in establishing a godly family. Just think about it. God's the designer of your life. You're created in his image. He gave you a gender. Why did he give you a gender? So you would get married and have babies and produce the next godly offspring for the next generation. That's why he gave you what he gave you. And we'll get into this when we talk about intimacy, but you need to understand that intimacy in a marriage is all about serving somebody else. It's never about serving yourself. So anything that falls shy of serving someone else in the covenant of marriage is sin every single time. Every single time. I mean, listen to what the Word of God says. God blessed them, verse 28 of chapter 1, and God said to them. So we're going to read what God said to Adam first, but this is the first time he's speaking to the couple directly after their marriage. And what does he say? First command to man and women on planet Earth. Be fruitful and multiply. We kind of miss that command. We kind of think, well, that's for some people, not for others. No, no, it's for everybody on planet Earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Get married, be fruitful and multiply. That's the command. Now, let's see how all this took place. In Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 4, what we get is a depiction of day 6. And like I said, you can go back and listen to sermons on this. But what you see on day 6 is during that day, if you go down to chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, then the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And if that doesn't take your breath away, you don't understand what just happened. The God of the universe took dust, put it together, breathe life into it. It's a man. He made a man in his image out of nothing but the dust that he had created. I mean, amazing. So he creates man first, right? And then he's going to take the man in the very next verse, and he's going to place him in a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. So he makes a man in his image, puts him in a garden. Drop down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do two things, to cultivate it and to keep it. So what's his responsibility? To cultivate it. God made the world in such a way that it took the responsibility of a man to make it go. He didn't just make everything grow and everything do it. It took the cultivation. It took man doing one thing and one thing only, working. Man had to work. He had to cultivate it, and then he had to keep it, which means this, he protected it. So you got to work it and protect it. Here's a man's responsibility. Listen. This is what you're created for. If you're a boy, this is what you're growing into. You provide and you protect. That's what you do. That's your responsibility as a man. It means this. If you don't have a job, go get one. Not like look for one, like go get one. Yeah, but this isn't what I'm looking for. Go work. It's noble to work. The fall hasn't even happened. Sin hasn't even crept in. God's saying, work. And then when you work, protect what you're working for. Guys, your responsibility in a marriage is to do two things, provide and protect. That's called leadership. You're providing and protecting. Now, some of you need to realize it's time to get married. It's time to quit sitting on the fence and thinking about it, because the most important thing you'll ever do is get married. Let me say it from my perspective. When I get to heaven, I know I'm judged more harshly because I'm a teacher of the Word of God, and I have a responsibility before the Lord to teach the Word in such a way that's clear and accurate. That's my job. Now, hopefully I do that as well as I can, but to the extent that I don't believe the Bible because that's authoritative, I'm not. But at the end of days, do you know what God cares about more in my life than what I do here? How I treat my wife, Kim, and my three kids. That's way more important to God than what I do here. Way more important. Because if your values and your identity in the Lord and your purpose is in why God gave you your gender, then what God's going to care about is how did you propagate the next generation of offspring for me to serve, for them to serve me. Like, that's what God's asking. That's most important in your life. Guys, the most important thing is not your job. It's not what people say about you. It's not your bank account. It's not how gifted you are. It's what does your wife and your kids say about how closely you follow the Lord. Period. That's your job. That's your most important job, right? Wives, your most important job, if you're married, is to be a wife and a mother. That's your most important job. And if we have more priority of the family, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in, right? So why does Satan attack gender? Why does Satan attack family? Because he knows that's where God's at work. I mean, think about it. Satan could have tempted man to cut down trees. He could have tempted Eve to like do all sorts of different things. He could have, you know, whatever, burn the grass up. I don't know. I mean, he didn't do that. He could have killed animals. That's not what he did. He went right after the family, right after what God was establishing. Well, what he got established. So he got man. He brings man into the garden, tells him to provide for the garden, protect the garden. And then the Lord commanded the man, not the woman, but the man, because the woman wasn't alive yet. From any tree in the garden, you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So the day you eat of that tree right there, dying, you will die. You're going to start dying and you will be dead. And the reason we know that Adam and Eve ate the tree is because they're not here, because they died. It started in motion the day they ate it. But who did he give the command to? He gave the command to the man, because it's always the man's job to bring the word of God to the woman. It's always been that way. Eve wasn't there. The reason Eve was deceived is not because she's all emotional and didn't know any better. The reason Eve was deceived is because her husband was a lummox or something like this. And instead of being there and telling his wife, don't listen to him, or cutting the head of the serpent off, he's like, oh, well, you should listen to him too. I mean, and that's what we as guys do. We think devotions is a woman's job. We think raising the family spiritually is a woman's job. Men, it is your job, period. So then here's what he says after he tells him, just don't eat that. And then he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Let that one sink in, men. It's not good for you to be alone. You need help. I mean, that's what God's saying. God's just gotten done for six straight days. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Now, don't eat off that tree. And by the way, it is not good that you're alone. I mean, do you see the significance? It's not good. Men, if you think that your best is being independent and separated from everybody else, you don't understand who God created you to be. Your best is being connected to another woman in marriage. That's just it. I mean, family is the foundation. Now, if you're one of the 0.00000% of people that have been given the gift of celibacy, meaning I never think about sexual intimacy, I don't want that, and I want to spend an extra 5 to 10 hours a day serving the Lord with gladness, great, that's you. But that's not the majority of people. Majority of peoples, be fruitful and multiply. So what does the Lord do? The Lord brings all the animals, and Adam names them, showing his dominion over them. And then verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib in which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. He didn't make the woman out of the man's head because she wasn't to boss him. He didn't make her out of the man's feet so he could step on her. He made him out of her side so that they could be connected because they have equal value. Amen? And he fashions the woman, and then Adam woke up from his nap, which would probably be the most delightful thing he'd ever done. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man. Like, he's looking at Eve in all of her glory like, God, good job. Like, God's been saying, this is good, this is good. This is Adam's way of saying, this is good, right? And then notice verse 24, it says, for this reason. Have you ever seen that there before? It's quoted at weddings, when we do marital counseling, premarital counseling, postmarital counseling. These are the two verses we go to, because you get this right, you get everything right, you get this wrong, you get everything wrong. For this reason. What reason? What reason? I just gave you all three reasons. Can I give them to you again? Because God's been spelling out the reasons. Here's the reason. Reason number one is that your identity is rooted in the image of God. Reason number two is that your purpose is rooted in your gender. Reason number three is that your mission is rooted in establishing a godly family.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God's Plan for Dominion, a Covenant Family, from the series Family Fortified, helping you discover the life-changing truth that your worth is rooted in being created in God's image, no matter what. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, we'll say thanks with a downloadable 7-day devotional workbook based on Pastor Jeff's Family Fortified series. It's a great way for you to dive deeper into this month's teaching. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
Because God's been spelling out the reasons. Here's the reason. Reason number one is that your identity is rooted in the image of God. Reason number two is that your purpose is rooted in your gender. Reason number three is that your mission is rooted in establishing a godly family. For this reason, for these reasons, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Now, what God makes distinct, Satan always tries to blur. Male and female, he tries to blur it, right? Singles, you'll understand this. You'll understand half of this. When you're single, there's this push from the enemy to try to get you to be one with whomever you're dating. Hey, if we just share a phone bill, if we just move in together, if we just share a bed, if we just move in together, we can save money. We can kind of pretend that we're married even though we're not married. We can come together. We can handle this. There's this push to come together. Singles, do you know what the push is after you become one? I don't know if I married the right one. I don't know. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. There's a pull. Because what happens in a marriage between a man and a wife, when you give vows, you're not giving your vows to the priest or the pastor. You're giving your vows to God. Till death do you part. God, I will honor this other person. And we're not two individuals under the same roof. We are one. And you're as one will ever be the moment you say, I do. And you can grow in oneness or you can fight it. But you're one. For the rest of your life, till one of you dies. That's marriage. Well, I didn't know he was going to be like this. That's why you take vows. That's why you don't live together for 6 months before you get married. It doesn't help. Because oneness looks different. And God sees you as one. And even 1 Peter 3:7 says your prayers can be hindered if you're not fighting for oneness. So you walk down the aisle, you're two, you're two, you're two, you're two. You leave, you're one. God sees you as one, and then the rest of your life, here's what you do. You fight for oneness. Because nobody knows the trouble that you're going to see in your marriage. It could be health problems. It could be financial problems. It could be child-raising problems. It could be infertility problems. It can be bankruptcy. You don't know what's coming. But if you try to fix that problem and get away from your oneness, it'll break you up. But if you fight for oneness, like, hey, this is a real issue, but together we're going to get through this, God will forge a depth of relationship you didn't even know was possible. Amen? Yeah, but he's so different than me. Yes, he is. Fundamentally, he's totally different than you. It's not just anatomically, it's in every way. Women, you're different than men, and men, you're different than women, and I can't believe I have to preach that. Having raised daughters and a son, they're different. They think different and they should think different because they are different. Fundamentally different. Men, you do not need to become effeminate to fit into society. We need more godly, strong men than we've ever had before. And women, you don't need to fit into society. We need the most godly, feminine women that we can ever possibly have. That's who God wants you to be. And we can be equal in God's sight. But when you go to counseling, it's like, you know, but he doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand me. I've been married now almost 20 years. My wife and I can go to a basketball game. We can go to a football game. We can go to a vacation. We can go to a play. We can go see anything. And we come home and we unpack what we just saw. And I look at my wife like, were we even in the same place? Like, I don't even remember any of that. And I'll tell her, this is the way it happened. She's like, it did not happen that way. Let me tell you. And I'm like, okay, fine. Because we see it different. That's the beauty of it. Your wife will never be like you guys, and wives, your husbands will never be like you. They won't speak like you or think like you, and they don't need to be. They need to be honoring to you. Amen? And we'll talk more about this as we go on, but if marriage was only designed for your happiness, divorce would be all over the place. It wasn't. It was designed for your holiness, which if you're going through a really rough patch, you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I'm like, well, you vowed to God that you wanted him to use this relationship to make you holy. Do you have any more opportunities to grow in holiness? Oh yeah, I got a ton. Great. Thank God for your marriage. It's the heavenly sandpaper you'd been praying for. But I want to tell you this too. I mean, you look at it. I mean, plants multiply, but they don't marry. Animals mate, but they don't marry. God designed marriage as a beautiful thing. All marriages have hardships because you have two sinners and you have two genders and you have two different family backgrounds and you have two different areas of hurts and pains and everything else that you dealt with growing up and two different ways of seeing the world. And then you get together and because you spent 6 months planning it and picking out a great cake, you think it's going to be awesome. And you realize very quickly, there's a lot of things we got to grow in. And there's a lot of things I've got to change. And my spouse has got to change if we're really going to center on the Lord here. Let me tell you something else too, because I feel the need to just say this. Because for some of you here, I mean, even as you're hearing this, there's pain in your life. I know there's pain in your life. I mean, I know some of you, your faces, I can see it. And I want you to know something special. And even the way that Jesus describes family in the Bible, it's interesting because in Psalm 68:5, he said, he'll be the father to the fatherless. I didn't have a good dad, but you have a really good dad if you're in Christ. Amen? Amen? It's interesting, John 1:12 says that he gave us the right to become children of God. You know, we're in God's family. Romans 8:15 says we've been adopted into his family. He uses language like that to say, you're part of my family. And Jesus wanted us to know that spiritual relationships and that kind of church family in some ways is even deeper than a regular family. Remember when Jesus was being asked in Matthew chapter 12, you know, they said, Master, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking to speak to you. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:48, he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. What was he saying? He wasn't saying family's not important. What he was saying is spiritual connections in a family can sometimes be even deeper. So I don't really have a family. Well, then be part of a church family with people that can go deep in the Lord with you and help you and encourage you and bless you. Amen? We'll talk more about it. I mean, as we go on in this series, because there's a shattering of families that's happened in our culture. Sometimes it's not even your fault. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know. How would I have predicted that? I didn't know. And here we are. And, you know, Malachi 2 says that God hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorce just because of the pain that's caused during divorce. He doesn't just hate divorce because he hates seeing it. And he set a standard and you broke it. I mean, we break God's standards all the time. What God hates about divorce is God brought the family together so that you could produce offspring and advance the kingdom. And one more thing I know I need to say about this because I'll get letters. Say, well, Pastor Jeff, we wanted to have kids, but we're infertile. We can't do it. Okay, I'm going to say two things about that. Number one, all throughout the Bible, God's the one that opens the womb. There are plenty of people in the Bible that couldn't get pregnant. God said, okay, you're getting pregnant now. They got pregnant. About a year and a half ago, I stood here. I felt convicted before a sermon. I said, hey, for those of you in here, you're trying to get pregnant. You can't get pregnant. Let's just seek the Lord. If you'd have the courage to stand today, I want to pray over you. We've had 19 babies in our church since that prayer. Okay. God can open a womb. Does that mean God always opens a womb? No, because there's some of you I know that are close friends of mine. I'm like, didn't open ours. That's okay. Then there's other options too. Keep your options open. Because if God brought your family together to propagate the gospel, maybe adoption's in order. Maybe fostering's in order. Maybe God's got unique plans for your life he didn't have for anybody else. That's fine too. And it doesn't really matter what the world says. It's what is God saying to you? And his mandate when they came together as a couple is be fruitful and multiply. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about birth control. It doesn't mean that birth control is necessarily wrong if it, you know, prevents a pregnancy. But once a pregnancy started, you don't, it's not birth control, it's murder. Okay? But I would say this, the general tenor of the scriptures is get married, have a family, have a big family, and use that family to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. It's a blessing. children are a blessing. Now, this is something that I wish I would have heard when I was 12. This is something my wife and I, we got married a little later in life. My wife and I always said, wish we had more kids, wish we had more kids, wish we had more kids. And now if we do, I'll be preaching on the Abraham story, but that's a whole other thing. But there's something special about kids. If you understand, they're a blessing. They're not a burden. They're not a pain. They're the next generation, and God loves children. So bless the children. Amen? So then he says this. He goes, okay, now that you're married, here's what I want you to do. I want you to subdue, and I want you to rule the earth. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the second part, after he says, be fruitful and multiply, he goes, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it. That means have dominion. Make the earth subject to you. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth and every bird of the sky and everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given you every green plant for food. And it was so. So let me give you the fourth point. The dominion mandate starts with resources that are rooted in your relationship with God. Resources that are rooted in your relationship with God. Because I know some of you are like, well, if I get married and have a family, that's going to be real expensive. Yeah, it is. I was just reading a report this week that said the average child today in 2024 costs $13,000 a year. So you take that over 18 years, $234,000 a child. I can't afford that. You don't have to. When you do things God's way, God provides. He provides. He may not provide in the way you want him to. He may not provide in all these different things. But if you're saying, God, I prioritize my family. I'm prioritizing my wife. I'm prioritizing my husband. We're prioritizing our kids. It doesn't mean you'll have everything you ever want, but you'll have what's needed to raise those children in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord. Just like God provided everything they needed to eat. God always provides for his kids. Don't get worked up about that. He does. And that's interesting here because Genesis 1:31 is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. Because now God saw all that he had made. It's not just day 1 through 5. It's day 6. And the 6 included human beings created in his image. And not only did he create man, he created woman on that day. Not only that, but there was a marriage on that day. And God set everything up for success on that day. And God saw all that he had made. The family, the marriage. And behold, it was what? Very good. Not just good. This is very good. Because now I got image bearers bearing out my name going on to generation. And there was evening and morning the 6th. Day. Here's what I want to say. I mean, I know there's people here, like single women, like just show me a guy like that. I've been ready. Let's go. Right? And there's guys here saying, well, I don't know. How do I know I met the right one? And we'll talk about that, but just be the right one and tell the Lord, I believe your word and I want what you want. And if you're in a marriage right now and you're like, this is hard. I get it. It can be hard in seasons. But then what you need to do is say, you know what? My spouse is created in the image of God and I'm created in the image of God. So I'm going to treat them as an image bearer. And I'm going to appreciate them that they're different than me because they have a different gender than I have. And our mission is going to be to come together for the glory of God and see why God brought us together in oneness to propagate the gospel. I mean, over the years, as Kim and I have sat down and prayed, and I know her gifts, she knows mine. And I think we have a pretty good idea as to why God brought us together for such a time as this and what he wants to do in our life that's unique and different than what God would want to do in your marriage and what he'd want to do with you. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm not even married. I don't even know what to do with this. Then find some people that are and bless them. Find kids of those families that are and go bless them. Go demonstrate to God that you're so for the family that you're looking for families to bless. And the God says, okay, well, if you're gonna bless other families, I'll bless you, right? Because this is the dominion mandate. We read it all the time, but we don't believe it. Be fruitful and multiply. I don't even want kids. You have to take that up with the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. I can't tell you what the Lord is telling you, but I can tell you the general mandate for every single believer is be fruitful and multiply. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to have kids. It doesn't mean you're going to overcome fertility any more than it means when you're sick, God's going to heal every single person on this side of heaven. He doesn't do that, but his grace is bigger and he'll meet you where you're at. And I pray that where you felt conviction in this message, you just bring it before the Lord. He loves you.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God's Plan for Dominion, a Covenant Family, from the series Family Fortified, helping you discover the life-changing truth that your worth is rooted in being created in God's image, no matter what. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift and keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, we'll say thanks with a downloadable 7-day devotional workbook based on the Family Fortified series. Visit PastorJeff.com to give and request your copy. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.